guess that life forms on the right day.
Sorry if you came for the singing.
Not that Maggie.
Not tonight.
Back in town.
I can't do this anymore.
Look out, old Maggie is back.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202. McMichael here with you on The Fan. After the gut punch that was the Yankee loss, I got you till 5 o'clock, 3 hours. Warm-up show will come your way then. Fliegelman on the other side. Take your calls at 888-808-1019. We'll talk some Mets, some winning baseball, a team surging towards a playoff spot. We'll get to some news surrounding the Jets and Giants as the football season is starting, but you know where we got to start. We got to start with the miserable closer of the New York Yankees, the guy I have gone out on a limb for. And I know many of you who care, and I don't pretend it's everyone who's listening right now, but I know a lot of you might be waiting for me in the defense of Clay Holmes. Everyone's going at me on Twitter, I know. Let me just say this, in defense of Clay Holmes. He was awful last night. There is no defending that. He was awful last night. He could not throw his sinker for a strike. He was hanging his sliders. And for the first time, and I know this is going to piss people off, and this might be my form of defense. You know what? You guys are going to call me at 888-808-1019, and you're going to say crazy things, and I'll probably end up defending Clay Holmes in one way or another over the next 3 hours in some rare form, even though I'm pissed off at him and I'm furious with him, and he probably does finally deserve to at least consider taking him out of the closer's role. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. I still think he is their best reliever. That's the problem. And we're going to get to blaming a lot of people here. We're going to get to blaming Brian Cashman first off. We'll get to Boone and a decision that is mind-numbing to me. We'll get to Clay Holmes, LeMahieu, everyone who has something to do with this loss, Aaron Judge, because it's not just Clay Holmes, although he is, you know, public enemy number one right now. He was awful last night. He had absolutely nothing. But here's the fact of the matter is, one, he's their best reliever. I know you don't want to hear this. And you know what? I'm open to it right now. It's 11 blown saves, whatever I think of it. And in fairness to him, I don't think this was particularly bad. This was the worst we've seen of Clay Holmes. There was a stretch in 2022 where he was brutally bad and he lost his closer job. Boone took the closer job away from him in 2022. He had stretch after stretch where he had no idea where it was going. And I've been telling you about Clay Holmes is that even when he's beat, it hasn't looked like this. Even when he's beat, a lot of the times, yes, is soft contact. Yes, is this. Yes, is that. I don't want to get into it and defend him tonight, but we all know this was particularly awful. He gives up the grand slam he's given up. That's his third home run all year. He hasn't had an outing where he hasn't had any idea where it's going. But here's the fact of the matter is, let's blame the number one culprit of all of this, Brian Cashman. Because I firmly believe, we saw it just the other day, from the other options that the New York Yankees have to be their closer. We've seen it from Weaver against Texas. We've seen it, obviously, from Canely just the other day when he falls in love with his changeup and blows that game. We've seen it from Cousins. But Cousins were willing to give a break. Hey, there was bad defense behind him. Yeah, sure. We're okay to do that. Clay Holmes never gets the benefit of that doubt. But, you know, Cousins, hey, listen, LeMahieu blew the ball. And LeMahieu did blow the ball. And that was a play that Gleyber Torres should have made. But here's the problem. Believe it or not, I still feel this way. I still believe Clay Holmes is their best reliever. This was a terrible outing for him. No doubt. No doubt. He was awful. But Brian Cashman did nothing at the trade deadline to bring in someone who gives Aaron Boone clearly a better option. They don't have one. That is the biggest thing as we watch this team blow this game, which was absolutely, in my opinion, the worst loss of the season. Considering where they are, considering it gives up first place, considering how many games are left, considering the lead, considering the way Rodon pitched in this game, the way they battled back, the way they scored runs. This was the worst loss of the year to watch this fall apart because of a bunch of different reasons. But specifically, if we're going to get into Clay Holmes, the Yankees at the trade deadline did not go out there and give a legitimate option to Aaron Boone to give another closer an opportunity. You want to throw Canely out there? God bless you. You want to throw Cousins out there? It's 11 blown saves. At some point, you have to try something. I'm open to the fact, and so was Aaron Boone, if you listen to the press conference. Because there have been multiple games after blown saves from Clay Holmes where it's, hey, we believe in Clay. Hell, the manager says it. The captain says it. Everyone says it. Aaron Boone did not say that after this postgame. He said, I'm not answering that question in the moment. Clay Holmes might very well lose his job. And it's hard for me to argue that he shouldn't. But it's also hard to make a case that there are other better options. You might just hate Clay Holmes. I get it. He's shaky in the ninth. No doubt about it. I've never said Clay Holmes is a great reliever. At the beginning of the year, before it's really taken off here, I said he's one of the better relievers in the league. And he was. He was an all-star. He was. You don't have to like it. He was. And when you look at some of the other, when you look at a lot of these blown saves, sorry, it's how I feel. I'm not going to change because he was terrible last night. Most of his blown saves have been a lot of bad luck. That's just how I feel. Last night doesn't change that. I watched the games. A lot of it's soft contact. I honestly think Volpe forgets how to play defense in the ninth inning when Clay Holmes is out there. He almost blew a save for him the other day. You want to make the change? You want to scream for the change? Fine. Who are they going to bring in? Because they made two moves at the deadline for relievers. One's DFA'd and the other one can't get anybody out. You trust Canely in a big spot? The problem is moving forward. We could talk about last night and what a miserable loss it was, and it was. And now they're not in first place anymore, and it's just a gut punch, disgusting loss. And Clay Holmes had no feel for his sinker and was hanging a slider. He was atrocious. We haven't seen him pitch like that. If you want to call that defense, you want to get pissed off at it, it's just the truth. For the most part, Clay Holmes has gone out there and been pretty damn good. I know you don't want to hear it. That's how I feel. Last night, he was atrocious. The number of blown saves is something I can't argue with. So if we feel it's time to move on and give somebody else a try, fine. Who on this team deserves that shot? Who? Who do you feel confident in? You want to change it for change's sake? At this point, it makes sense. I can't argue with you. But again, this is about Brian Cashman more than who they're going to close with right now, because this team is supposed to be chasing a championship. This team is supposed to be chasing a division title. And right now, the back end of this bullpen has zero answers to it. Zero. Zero. And this is the first time watching Clay Holmes, in my opinion, and this is the comment that's going to drive you nuts. This was the first time last night where I felt the ninth inning was too much for him. You could see it start to spiral. It's one of these things now where it's enough blown saves. It's enough talked about. I think the defense feels it behind him, and that's why it's probably the best reason. I think the best reason to take him out of the closing role is now it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know it. I know it. The defense feels it. He feels it. And you could see it. David Cone was talking about how fast Clay Holmes was going. He gives up one hit, and that first ground ball is going to be the thing that haunts me. I'm telling you right now, I don't know why that's sticking with me. That easy ground ball, that tease of an easy inning, is what's pissing me off more than anything. That first little ground ball that seemed like this was going to be a nice, easy outing for Clay Holmes, that's what's sticking in my craw. As you see him give up a base hit, walk two guys, give up the grand slam, have no idea where it's going. And it's starting to feel like, finally, and you've probably felt it for months, fair. I haven't. where now it feels the defense feels it. This is the first outing where I honestly felt Clay Holmes knew he was going to blow the safe. Clay Holmes knew it. And when that happens, you really have no choice. And I think the Yankees will make the right choice and at least for a time take him out of the closer role. But again, much like the Yankees feel about DJ LeMahieu, much like the Yankees feel about Verdugo, I will tell you that the best version of this Yankee team is Clay Holmes is pitching well and their closer. I feel that way. So we can make the change, and the Yankees probably will. And maybe someone will pick it up and run with it. I want them to win. I'm not here because I want Clay Holmes to be the closer. I want the Yankees to win. And if Cousins or Weaver or Canely or whoever else picks up the ball and runs with it and does a great job as closer, I'll feel differently. But you want to know the best way for the Yankees to win in the postseason, in my opinion, is for Clay Holmes to figure this out and be the closer, because to me, he is their best reliever with the best stuff, who gets pretty much the most strikeouts and all the other nonsense that you'll tell me he's not good at. Pretty much all of it belongs to Clay Holmes. He's their best reliever. And that's an indictment on Brian Cashman. Because this year, they relied on the belief, and to be fair to them, it is something they did very well, and all of us said at the beginning of the year, well, the one thing I trust is they'll put a bullpen together. Because it's been a long time since Mariano Rivera. And sure, Chapman blew some saves. But the one thing, because it's certainly not starting pitching, it's certainly not developing young talent, it's certainly not acquiring acquisitions at the trade deadline, the one thing Brian Cashman could hang his coat on is the idea that he's been able to manufacture bullpen arms from nowhere. It's the one thing. And they went into this season relying on that, and it's absolutely come back to bite them. And this team right now just feels like they are going to find ways to lose. Whether it's the starting pitcher just imploding and not giving them a chance, whether it's the offense being shut down by left-handed pitching, or whether it's the back end of the bullpen, obviously Clay Holmes first and foremost, blowing games where they have leads. This is now the 11th blown save. And I can yell and I can say whatever I want about Clay Holmes being the best this and Clay Holmes being the best option and that's on this and everything else. The fact of the matter is the proof is in the pudding. It's 11 blown saves. It's a number you can't quibble with. It's a number you can't hide from, and it's nothing I can say to make that number go away. That's a fact. I can tell you the defense. I can tell you the soft contact, and I even might believe it. Doesn't change the number 11. Now that we've made our peace with the closer, and you can call me up and yell at me for my take on it, fine. 888-808-101. Now let's talk about the manager. Because Aaron Boone did something today or didn't do something today that makes absolutely no sense. There is no reason on God's green earth. We have watched this forever. I understand that Rizzo is coming back from injury. And I understand that they still want to play LeMahieu for a brief time. I'm telling you right now, I'm not worried about LeMahieu playing in the playoffs. But these games are like playoff games now. You're battling for a division. And DJ LeMahieu playing against left-handed pitching, it is what it is. I honestly don't think they have that much of a better option. They're going to ease Rizzo into it. That's fine. But when they have a three-run lead late in a game, and you have seen DJ LeMahieu play the kind of first base you have seen him play. They haven't had any. Like, listen, I understand why he's been there. Ben Rice is just as bad or worse. Oswaldo Cabrera's played seven games there. They don't have a better option until Anthony Rizzo has shown up. These games are too imperative to not put your best defensive team on the field to hold a lead. He's done it all year long. He's done it with DJ LeMahieu over Ben Rice the entire second half of the season. So why he doesn't view the upgrade of Rizzo over DJ LeMahieu makes no sense to me at all. And I understand this wasn't a scoop in the dirt. This wasn't a typical first baseman play where you say, like I heard just Keith yelling about out of place, and they love playing defenders out of position. That's fine, and it's an accurate statement. They've done it way too much last year in particular. But this wasn't a tough scoop in the dirt. This wasn't fielding a bunt. This wasn't unsure how far to go towards second base to get the play and the pitcher couldn't get there in time. This wasn't some sort of out of position tough play for a first baseman if only Anthony Rizzo was out there. This was the easiest freaking ground ball you have ever seen in your life, and it's the first time ever I have seen a player lose the ground ball in the lights. I don't think I've ever seen it before. Have you ever seen a ground ball lost in the lights? I never have. So while I say that, and I blame DJ LeMahieu because there's no excuse for it, and you could say he doesn't belong to be on this roster, and you're right, and you should say he shouldn't be out there in the late innings for defensive purposes, you're 100% right. It doesn't change the fact that this guy's won batting titles and gold gloves, and he can't field a ground ball. And while I'll yell at Boone for it because it doesn't make any sense, it's hard for me to also just wash over the idea that that play didn't get made. Because he is a Major League Baseball player with a gold glove in his office. But that doesn't change the fact that Anthony Rizzo needs to be out there defensively to secure these victories that they can no longer afford to lose. And I don't get hung up on pitching, hitting him in the ninth inning like that's a proof. I guess that proves that Anthony Rizzo could play, but we know he could play. They're going to give him a little bit of some games off here or there, and certainly against left-handed pitching, they're still going to throw DJ LeMahieu out there. Like, that's fine. I don't like it. I think it's stupid, but we all know what it is. It doesn't mean Rizzo can't come off the bench and play defense. And then the game changes in the ninth inning. Now it's a one-run game and you're with a right-handed reliever, so he pinched hit Anthony Rizzo. One has nothing to do with the other. I'm not going to get mad at Boone twice. I'm just going to get mad at the first time for being inept. That's an easy, simple decision that, by the way, he has made all year. First base and defensive first base in particular, really any kind of production from first base, has been an issue really even before Rizzo went down. He was terrible offensively. But defense at first base has been an issue all year. And late in games, he has pulled Ben Rice for DJ LeMahieu, the slightest of defensive upgrades all year. And in the biggest games of the season, to make sure you're securing a three-run lead, you do not make the same decision you have made all year. You cannot argue that DJ LeMahieu is not a natural first baseman. And you cannot argue that Anthony Rizzo is not a better defensive first baseman. The idea he wasn't in that game, even if it was the simplest of plays that my 7-year-old son could make, doesn't change the fact that Aaron Boone was freaking lost. So we could blame Aaron Boone, we can blame everybody, but the fact of the matter is, the main culprit right now is Brian Cashman. And this bullpen that he's allowed to try and chase a championship with is a disgrace. And it's one thing to go into the season relying on your ability and Matt Blake's ability and this pitching department's ability to manufacture the greens and manufacture all the different relievers and bring in, you know, guys from trades who nobody ever heard of, like Wandy Peralta, and turn them into excellent relievers. And I'll even use Clay Holmes for this example to come over here from Pittsburgh and turn him into one of the better relievers we've seen over the last couple of years. And they relied on that ability. And even when they saw at the trade deadline that it wasn't working, he still did not go out there and bring in a reliever that you could at least consider to be the closer. So as we're all going to scream about the closer, fine. You want to get on Clay Holmes? I'm with you. 11 blown saves. I can't argue with you. I can tell you till the cows come home that I honestly think a lot of the blown saves are a little bit of bad luck. You look at some of his numbers, it's still pretty good. Last night, he was atrocious. Last night was just a terrible version of Clay Holmes. We've seen that version before. Honestly, we haven't seen it this year. That doesn't change the fact that something about the vibe of him coming into the game, whether it's manifested by us, whether it's manifested by his defense, whether it's manifested by soft contact fairies or anything else. Last night was the first time in my mind that everybody on the Yankees, including Clay Holmes, knew he was going to blow that game. And quite honestly, I don't really get on Boone for not pulling him. I understand he had nothing. He's also still the best option to get a ground ball with the bases loaded. I don't feel there's a better option there. I understand he couldn't throw a strike. Once, if he were to walk Langford and give up the tie and have the bases loaded, you probably go to another reliever there. That's on Clay Holmes. It's on Clay Holmes. He's got to be better there. But the manager has got to tighten things up. They have to be smarter. They have to start playing their best players. This is a division they have to win. We all know it. I was listening to Evan today. I don't care about previous postseason series and the success they've had in home series versus road series, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I know. I want to avoid the wild card. I want to win this division. And whether or not ultimately we care if they win the division or not, it sets them up better for postseason success. That after all this yelling, I still believe they can find. I do not think this Yankee team is doomed. But it's got to start right now. And watching this bullpen, it's very tough to think that no matter what they do, no matter who the option, no matter what name the manager pulls out of his hat to replace Clay Holmes, who you hate, I don't know who he's putting in there that's going to do any better. 888-808-1019. So frustrating loss, stick to your stomach loss, a loss that's going to stick with you all freaking day from the New York Yankees. Just a mind-numbing loss. And the decision from the manager, I have to admit, that it's one of those moves where he's done it all year. That's what's really bothering me about it. Because he has brought in DJ LeMahieu for defensive purposes every single game. And yet, in the biggest games with a better defensive option, the best defensive option they have, one of the better over the course of his career, defensive first basemen of this generation, a former Platinum Glove Award winner. We're not making sure we have good defense late in games with a three-run lead. What the hell are we doing? 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back, take your Yankee phone calls. We'll get to the Mets, I promise. I opened with the Mets yesterday. I was fully expecting to come in here talking about, all right, here we go. Both teams with a win. Playoff chase is on. Yankees need to hold off the Orioles for the division. Mets chasing down the Braves. Lindor, another incredible game. Another incredibly well-pitched game from Peterson. Just, it was going to be a nice positive day. And Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, and Clay Holmes had to go freaking ruin it. Throw in DJ LeMahieu, will you? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's take Roger and Princeton here in the open first before we get to the break. Roger, what's going on, man? How are you?
Yeah, I wish I could share some of your optimism, but the non-doomsday, it's doomsday, dude. They're
tied in the loss column for first place. It can't.
Yeah, I get it, but earlier in the year, a lot of that long, you know, hyper winning streak that they had.
Yeah,
there. It's like I'm saying to myself, this is smoke and mirrors. They dodged a bullet here. They dodged every other night because balls were getting hit hard, but right at people.
Oh, come on.
And
come on.
Yeah, and now they got.
This is what I'm talking about.
And Gleyber Torres just kills this team. He either makes an error or misses a play that he should have made. He overruns a base and, you know, wastes an extra out. I mean, he sucks the life out of this team. I swear. I hope that. You can blame it on Holmes. He is not, doesn't have the mentality of the closer. But a lot of this stuff starts. Even Volpe in the game right before the All-Star break, you know, a ground ball he's got to make, you know.
Of course.
A lot of that stuff starts with it. He's not the only guy that just loses it and blows it, but he doesn't have the right mentality because to throw that pitch in the dirt, what is it, was it nine times?
Yeah, no.
You know?
He had to keep going back to it. Well,
we don't have the field generals to beat a team like the Astros. What I mean by that is the catchers. At some point, you can't just wait for Blake to go out there and talk to the guy. You got to get out there and say, look, man, we tried this pitch enough times. You know, just rear back and throw a heater.
He's a sinker baller. He doesn't have a heater. He throws a sinker ball and a slider. He has to try and throw his sinker. He has to. He can't just go up there and throw sliders. You saw what happened when he threw a slider when the hitter knew a slider was coming. He hit 420 feet. And we're going to get on Gleyber Torres today? Seriously, that's the first name. The first call I take, the first name out of his mouth is Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres, who is hitting, has a 900 OPS over the last 12, 13 games since he's been a leadoff hitter. Who had how many hits in this game? How many hits in yesterday's game? Who made a play yesterday that saved the game that Clay Holmes almost blew it the night before. And he made an incredible play to save the game two nights ago. There was a time to get on Gleyber, and I still don't love Gleyber. And I don't want him to be a Yankee next year. But Gleyber Torres is the last guy I'm thinking about today. I know he didn't make that play. I know it. It was right by his glove. I know. The ball was hit fairly hard. He should have made the play. I'm not saying he shouldn't have. DJ LeMahieu had the easiest of plays I've ever seen. Gleyber Torres is raking right now. Gleyber Torres is sucking the life out of this team right now. He's their leadoff hitter. He's the first leadoff hitter they've had all year. Gleyber Torres is playing great right now. And I'm sorry. I have a tough time. I have a tough time saying things. This is why we have a disconnect with me. I have a tough time saying words like unserious. I have a tough time saying, you know, doomsday. They're tied in the loss column for first place. They're going to be playing playoff games. If they won this game yesterday, tell me how you know they're going to beat the Astros. Like, it's... they need to figure out the bullpen, no doubt. And I'm concerned about it, and it's a major flaw. It can't be doomsday. There are major flaws, and they are not the favorites necessarily. I mean, I just saw the thing the other day. They, according to Pecota, they are the favorites to win the World Series. They're just another decent team. In a league full of decent teams. I'm frustrated. I'm pissed off. They have to figure out the closer position. And again, call me crazy, the best version of this team is Clay Holmes as the closer. They've got to get him going right because I believe when he is right, there's not a better arm in that bullpen. And that's on Brian Cashman.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Now, I didn't mention in the open, the only other option the New York Yankees have for the bullpen is, you know, we've talked about the idea of one of these starters going to the bullpen. I don't know if you can thrust them right into the closer role, but Luis Gil and Clark Schmidt are going to start this weekend against the Cubs, and apparently Nestor Cortez is going to piggyback one of them. We've talked about Luis Gil's innings, and I've been opposed to the idea of just being a victim of that and feeling like they have no other option to just throw him in the bullpen because of the innings. I'm willing to push him because I believe in the playoffs, starting pitching is paramount, and Luis Gil's got some of the best stuff in the rotation, and he's a dominant, when he's right, has been a dominant starter. And so I've been hesitant to suggest or fall victim to the idea of, oh, it's obvious they got to do it. It's at the point now where you might have to and just see if you can get him to feel good about being a back-end reliever. I know they've done it before, and you've seen good, like, you know, 2009, Phil Hughes was a huge part of the bullpen going from starter to reliever. You know, David Price for the 08 Rays. You know, we've seen starters go into the back end of the bullpen. I'm not going to include, you know, Randy Johnson and guys like that who've come out in game seven or you know, where they've started in the series and then, you know, for a game seven or a game five or closing out game, they would come in and relief. That's not the same thing. transitioning strictly to reliever for the postseason. I think you might have to be open to it now because I don't know if they have options back there. I don't know, and you might have to give him run at it too because I don't know if you could just say, all right, Luis Gil, you're our closer. But they have to figure something out because as much as I'll defend Clay Holmes, and in some ways I still will, I think, believe it or not, even though he has 11 blown saves, in my mind, last night was an oddity. We have not seen that level of just ineptitude from Clay Holmes. We haven't. We've seen beat by a bad infield shift in Detroit. If you ask me, he's throwing these sinkers away to left-handed pitchers, and yet we're shifting as if these left-handed hitters are going to pull the ball. He's been beat by ground balls. He's been beat by poor defense. He's been beat by left fielders falling down. He's been beat by infield rollers. He's been beat a myriad of different ways. Now, 11's too many to quibble with. I can't defend 11 blown saves. I'm with you. But if you go look at those 11 blown saves and how they happened, they did not look like last night looked. We have seen stretches of Clay Holmes look like last night. We have not seen Clay Holmes look like last night this season. I think that level of bad has to, we have to get some reaction from the manager and from the Yankees. And they're going to have to figure something out because I don't love the options. You know, Cousins has done a nice job. He's been bad. He's been part of blowing leads the last two games. We saw what Canely did. Weaver, I mean, these options are not great. And all of this gets back to Brian Cashman. There's no doubt about it. This is on Brian Cashman for not doing more at the deadline to impact this. They were comfortable. He was comfortable with Clay Holmes as the closer. Now, to be fair, because I got to stand on my words, I was comfortable as well with him as the closer, but we needed someone where you understood that there has been a history of Clay Holmes going into these deep funks. And at that point already, he had blown some saves. Even if you were comfortable with keeping Clay Holmes as your closer, you had to go out there and get a legitimate reliever who could at least, you could feel good about stepping in if it got to this point with Clay Holmes. And he didn't. Made a great trade for Jazz, who's been incredible. But they went into this year with a bullpen they had hoped would gel, relying on their previous seasons of being successful at building bullpens from nothing. And even when it wasn't working, even when it didn't reach the levels it had in previous years at the trade deadline, they got a reliever they've already designated for assignment and Leiter who can't get anybody out. It was a disastrous attempt to help the bullpen. And right now they're paying for it. Paul in Rockland. What's up, Paul?
Okay. Why didn't he just leave in Hill? I mean, Hill retired the side.
Yeah.
I think Boone has, go with the hot hand. Holmes hasn't really earned that position of closer. I would have a friendly competition. And if Hill, I think Boone is the kind of guy that if Hill retired the side, 3 strikeouts on 9 pitches, he would have lifted him. I'm like, what the heck? Leave the guy in. Yeah. Let the guy get a close. Maybe the guy starts to develop. Maybe he's your future closer.
That's a lot of maybes for a guy who got 2 outs, a sacrifice fly and a strikeout. I mean, now all of a sudden, maybe Hill will turn that into becoming the closer. I mean,
I'd say go with the hot hand.
You just said maybe he'll become your closer. You could have done that. I don't think Hill is the kind of pitcher you have faith. Doing that and getting an up-down. I don't know how many times Hill has pitched 2 innings. He went to his closer. I have no problem with going to Clay Holmes. I have none. I really don't. That's what you do with the lead. You go to the closer. Tony in East Haven. What's up, Tony?
Yes, Chris. I've been a Yankee fan since 64, and I got to tell you, how you could defend Cashman year after year after year, it's beyond me now. I mean, tonight I couldn't even sleep listening to you. You're saying
I just killed him.
You should kill him because the rest in this team, they have no options because the general manager has built the team again. Terrible team again. Every year these last... Oh, come on, Chris. Come on. Where's DJ LeMahieu? Where should he be right now? Where? Would he be on any other team? Would he be on any other team besides the Yankees? No. He'd be DFA'd, and you know it, and I know it.
For sure, but sure, I'm with you.
Oh, come on, please.
I'm with you.
You can't see that this guy is gone. That this guy, you can't see that this guy is done. He's done.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that. I understand that.
He's absolutely done. You could have traded Grable at the trade deadline.
No, I couldn't have.
2 years ago. No, 2 years ago, you should have done it.
No, I should have traded him in the offseason.
Even in the offseason. But, I mean, we got people
that are playing. Right now, he's one of their best players. You want to ask me how many teams?
We put people out of position.
Why are they playing out of position?
You get Chaz and you put him at third base because he's not a third baseman. He should be playing second base. But this is how we defend this guy. I don't understand. He doesn't build a good team. We got an outfield that's terrible. I mean, outside of Judge.
They only have Judge and Soto, two of the five best hitters on the planet. I apologize for the outfield. I'm very sorry for the outfield that Brian Cashman has forced you to watch.
First of all, he gave up five players to get Soto, and he's not going to sign next year. I wouldn't sign back with this garbage team that they have right now.
Who should he sign with? Well, who's giving less garbage?
Chris, I'll tell you what. I'll take you out to dinner anywhere you want to go if this team could get back to past the second round this year.
Who's better? The Astros.
The Orioles are going to beat us.
Are you sure?
The Orioles are going to beat us.
Have you seen the Orioles?
Let me tell you, if we didn't have a spot like we have right now.
Do you watch the Orioles play?
I'll tell you what, they got a better team than us.
Are you sure
they
have that? Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. Right now, it's easy to make that claim, I suppose. The Orioles have been trash the same amount of time the Yankees have been. The Orioles are better? Okay. They're tied right now in the loss column. You're not watching the Orioles. You have no idea what's going on with the Orioles. You watch the Yankees, I get it, and you're frustrated, and you should be. They're not trash. It's frustrating. I'm concerned. I'm not going to proclaim they're going to the World Series. I'm not going to tell you they're the World Series favorites. Everything is fine. You guys are nuts. No, there's major issues with this team. Major flaws. You can't call up and say they're trash. Sorry. You can. I'm going to argue with you. And this is what bothers me. He literally just said, I'm up, I can't go to sleep listening to you defend Brian Cashman. Like, I'm almost like flattered that my reputation precedes myself. Because it's actually my reputation is getting beyond my words. I'm literally killing Brian Cashman for the first 40 minutes of this show. That's literally what I've done here. I opened the show killing Brian Cashman for how he handled the trade deadline and what he's done with this bullpen. Killing him. Last night, I screamed and yelled about not having Dominguez on this team, and it's a joke. I killed him last night for Dominguez. I've killed him for... I wanted DJ LeMahieu DFA'd for the last 2 months. I've been screaming about that. But apparently, you just hear me defend Brian Cashman because you'll call and say he's the worst. And I'll say, no, he's not really... He's not the worst. He's had a bad 2 years. Can't argue it. In fact, in the offseason, I said it's best if the Yankees move on from Brian Cashman. But people get so mad, they will call and say he's the worst GM of all time, and I will say, no, he's not. Oh, you Cashman chill. And we're complaining about the outfield. They have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in the outfield. Yes, Juan Soto misplayed a couple balls in the outfield. He's not a great defender. Would you not trade the offense for the defense? Because you know what? At the beginning part of the year, Verdugo is one of the best left fielders in the sport. Are you happy with him? Now we're going to complain about Juan Soto. They gave five guys up for him. I dare you to give me the five guys. You couldn't name them outside of Michael King. Like, stop. The Yankees might very well lose. They have major flaws. The back end of the bullpen is a disaster right now. The offense is like the offense is coming around. Gleyber Torres, we're screaming about Gleyber Torres. I get it. For the whole, you know what? But he has the benefit of being a Yankee. And you know what the benefit? It's a gift and a curse. Right? It comes with the overbearing pressure. It comes with having to make it New York. It comes with guys like him and guys like me all year long screaming about him. But you know what he gets the benefit of the doubt to do? Change his season by what he does from this point on. And for the last 3 weeks, he's been one of their best players. He's got a 900 OPS in the leadoff spot. He's got 5 hits in the last 2 games. He had the 2-run double the other day that won the game. He's been playing. He made the defensive play that saved the game last night, 2 nights ago. They don't win that game in Texas, the first game of the series, without Gleyber Torres. He's been good. And hopefully he can carry that into the playoffs. And then I'm with you. Say goodbye. I'm not giving him a dollar. But imagine if they traded for imagine if they traded Gleyber Torres right now. If they traded Gleyber Torres, you'd have... If they traded Gleyber Torres for what? Prospects? That's what you're going to get. If you traded Gleyber Torres for prospects or something just to get rid of him because you'd have been better off without him, you'd have Jazz Chisholm playing second base and DJ LeMay, you'd be your everyday third baseman. You like that? Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Wow. You know, that was... Let's bring the volume down a little here in the conversation.
I'm mad now.
No. I understand. But wait. Let me just address the last caller, okay? Because he's probably still listening. So if he was a Yankee fan starting in 1964, what did he have between 1965 and 1975?
100%. 100%. Then what did he have between 81 and 95?
And 95. Yeah. Come on.
Totally agree.
That's number one. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I've said it to you. We both agree. Guess who's going to be enshrined? I have very, 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 very bad news for this guy in the middle, early in the morning. Guess who's going to be enshrined with a plaque in Cooperstown one day? Guess who's going, baby?
Stanton?
Oh, Brian Cashman.
Oh, Brian Cashman, of course. Yeah. No, Brian Cashman's a Hall of Fame executive. Yeah, nobody wants to hear it. He's had a bad 2 years. I'll be the first to tell you. And this year in particular, you know, after trading for Juan Soto, he did nothing to make sure this bullpen was good enough to get you down the stretch. I'm totally on board with it. But yes, the idea that he's you know, a disaster, it's silly.
But wait. And so now I have been also, you know, thinking that Holmes was going to find his arm slot and revert to his stellar all-star form. I think now a little bit that it's in his head. His body language wasn't that great tonight.
But wait,
let me say. So now let's look for a solution, Chris. Okay, so I'm thinking hopefully that Ian Hamilton is going to come back 100%. He does have swing and miss stuff. And, you know, Boone does not have free reign here. So maybe the organization is going to decide. How about this? Here's what. If you have an analytics department, maybe if you do bullpen by committee, they can come up with some kind of a schematic or whatever the heck you call it that would give them. I mean, what's your analytics department for? If you're putting a guy out there who is having some kind of an issue, and he is the closer. Yes, he is your declared closer. But at this point, this is what the analytics. This is what makes no sense to me. Have an analytics department. So Hamilton, how about, you know, the organization? They sit down, they have a meeting, whatever, and they say, okay. Holmes is going to be the closer, but we're going to have to, if we have to, plan B, we can do a bullpen by committee.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. The bullpen by committee sounds great, right? It does. And at this point, I'm open to it. As ardent a Clay Holmes defender as I've been, I can't argue with 11 blown saves. I can't argue with it. So I'm open to a bullpen by committee on some level, but like other teams have tried it. It doesn't typically breed success. Right? Like we complain about, I want the lineup the certain way because the lineup need, the guys need to know their roles. But then when it comes to the bullpen, it's like, well, whatever. And when it's actually been the opposite, as we've seen throughout history, bullpen guys do better when they have designed roles. Now, I don't know, Ian Hamilton, I think I just saw that they gave a, I got to check the, I missed the pregame. I'm seeing that she, that Meredith Marakovic gave an update on Ian Hamilton. I saw that he was pitching on his way back and then had back spasms. So I don't know if Ian Hamilton is very close. Efros just came back. I'm open to anybody. But right now, I don't think there's a clear answer. Like I wouldn't even, like if they don't remove him from the closer, I'm not going to get that mad about it because I don't know who's better. At this point, they probably should. It's the best thing to just try and give him at least a break and see if he can get some confidence pitching elsewhere. But I still think he's their best reliever. I still do. When he's at his best, he's their best. And as far as, yeah, the Yankee fans and this, I've been saying it forever, you know. The Yankees are just another team. Wake up. The Yankees have been just another team since the draft and free agency. Like, they won two championships in 77 and 78, and then they did an incredible job with Gene Stickmichael with the help of, you know, the assistant GM at times and guy in the organization the entire time period of Brian Cashman, building an incredible core that led to the dynasty, the likes of which we haven't seen since. The Yankees have been just another team since 1964 with a high payroll. The Dodgers have had a high payroll this whole time. They've won one championship since 1988. Like the idea that Brian Cashman in the last 5 years, the Judge era, have tarnished and ruined what used to be the proud Yankees. Okay. The 1980s didn't do that? When they had live cougars in the clubhouse? When Stump Merrill was finishing in last place, when they had 17 managers in 18 seasons? That didn't do it? When they didn't make the playoffs from 81 until 1995, excuse me? That didn't tarnish the great Yankees? It's been the last 5 years. Okay. Got it. I get it. When Mel Hall was bullying Bernie Williams and dating high school girls, that didn't do it. Nope. That wasn't it. When they were firing Yankee greats like Yogi Berra 18 games into a season, that wasn't it. That embarrassment, nope, that was fine. We were all cool with that. That was great. That was still, the Yankees were still great then. That was still the Yankees being the Yankees. It's these last 5 years with allowing Gleyber Torres to be on the team. That's what's done it. That's where we've lost it. It doesn't make any sense. I'm as frustrated as you, but everything is like to this level of such hyperbole and nonsense. The Yankees haven't won in a while. Not good enough. Brian Cashman has done a terrible job for the last 2 years. Not good enough. He didn't impact this trade deadline and didn't impact the bullpen at the trade deadline enough. Not good enough. They have to go win a World Series, or both him and Aaron Boone should be out of a job. If they're not in the World Series, both of them should be out of a job. Totally agree. Not good enough. The most disgusting era of Yankee baseball? Yeah, I don't see it that way.